get into our first session this morning. And we have no other person but Apostle Joshua Selman. So let's ask Apostle. Yeah, you can come. Let's put our hands together for Apostle Joshua Selman.
You are prophesying. 2, 3, 4, 5 people. Good morning. Be prepared for an experience with God. Be prepared to soar. Wave your yesterday goodbye because you will never see it again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Please hold hands with someone by your left and right, and let's pray in the spirit for a few minutes to start off this session. Pray in the spirit from the depth of your heart. Shabbat Tibaleke Paratoka Pranda Gabaratosia. Shadada de Bakata Paranta Stavreski Bedekos. Rakete Barata Paratos Kavila Kaparantos Kalegebaratos. Invest a few minutes in prayer. Let faith rise in the name of Jesus. The word of God is coming to you. Shabata parata kaparada gata frantas kabalakato. Sebende pres kebereko salagranta kapras kebalakato. Evalanta pras kebalaka prati kebaratus. In Jesus' name we pray. Please say after me, Father. One more time, Father. In the name of Jesus, I open up my spirit to receive your word this morning. Turn it into prayer in the name of Jesus. I open up my spirit. I decree and declare that there is the hearing of faith. There is the walking of miracles. Someone is praying. I open up my heart. Kabaratos kalibrandege baratos. Hela tapraska debelege baratos yata. My heart is open. In Jesus' name we pray. Say after me, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that my heart is good ground. Say it again, I declare that my heart is good ground. It yields hundredfold harvest. Open your mouth and pray that as the seed comes upon the soil of your heart, it is good ground. It is good ground. It is not thorny ground. It is good ground, producing harvest of 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Final prayer. Say, Father, the anointing, the grace that is behind your word, let it rest upon me as I hear. Open your mouth and pray. The grace, the anointing, the empowerment that causes the word to produce as it is taught. I obtain grace. I receive it. I receive it by the Spirit of God. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe upon my life. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe, Lord, breathe. upon my life. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, exalted. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, exalted. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified. I prophesy to someone here, welcome to your season of signs and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ, that a mantle will rest upon your life. You will begin to walk in extraordinary dimensions in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, you may be seated with your spirit receptive, be seated with your heart very, very sensitive. I sense in my spirit that today is going to be an extraordinary moment in this place. From the start of this conference right till the end of it, today particularly, that God is going to be moving in extraordinary ways. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's my honor to start the session today, and I'm truly grateful to Pastor Pojo and his wife. Please help me honor him one more time. Thank you so much, sir. In the name of Jesus. We began our discussion yesterday, and I summarized yesterday's teaching by telling us that faith, Bible faith, is a function of growth in spiritual understanding. This was the summary of my discussion yesterday, that a believer cannot attain unto Bible faith in ignorance. You still remember? That Bible faith is a function of growth in spiritual understanding. And that the deeper and the higher your spiritual understanding is, the greater your conviction. So when you say no faith, or small faith, or great faith, or exceeding great faith, they are functions of the depth of revelation and spiritual illumination that you have. Hallelujah. And that every believer has a responsibility to walk in partnership with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to contend for light. We're in a season where believers cannot afford to live in ignorance. He said, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Hallelujah. This morning I want to take it a step further, and the title of my teaching this morning is Help My Unbelief. I want to show you the rules of potent faith. Help My Unbelief. Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We'll begin our reading from verse 19. Very interesting scripture. Mark chapter 9. The Bible says, Jesus is speaking now. He said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? He said, bring him unto me. And they brought unto him the boy now. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it since this came unto him? And the father said, since he was a child. In the name of Jesus, everything that has followed you since you were a child, patterns of evil, patterns of retrogression, let this be the conference where it drops from off your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's continue our reading. Enough times the Bible says it had cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. It says, but if you can do anything, have compassion upon us and help us. 23. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, say, I believe. One more time, say, I believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible, not to everybody, but unto him that believeth. 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and with tears he said, Lord, I believe. But in case I don't know what I'm talking about, help thou my unbelief. A man can cry for help that God would do something about your state of unbelief. Let's finish it to 27, and then I'll begin to teach. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. 26. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The Lord bless the reading of his word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Straight up, I want to show you by the mercy of God three rules that govern potent faith, or at least four of them. There are actually about seven rules that govern the manifestation of faith that works, faith that moves mountains, faith that can subdue nations and turn the tides of darkness away. But for the sake of this session, we'll just consider three or four. Let's say four. Hallelujah. Number one, the first rule that governs Bible faith, potent faith, is that faith that produces, faith that works, must be a product of encounters. Faith that works must be a product of encounters. Encounters are beyond mental assent. Encounters. An encounter is an experience that makes a person, a thought, or a thing real to you. In the simplest of definitions, an encounter is an experience, usually supernatural, that makes a person, a thought, or a thing real to you. And according to Scripture, there are three platforms for experiencing encounters. Number one, prayer. Number two, worship. Number three, the study of Scripture. Please write that down. Don't forget. There are three platforms that afford the believer an opportunity to have encounters, encounter with God. Number one, prayer. In the place of prayer, believers have encounters. Number two, heartfelt worship. Not careless worship, not unattentive worship. Heartfelt worship. Number three, the study of Scripture. Job chapter 42 and verse 5. Job said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. This is the most graphic description of encounters. You may forget the things that you hear, but you cannot forget the things that you see. Are we together now? It's possible to give me a call, and then I may not even identify who it is that is calling. And sometimes I may need to ask, sorry, who is this? Oh, I'm so. And then I say, I'm sorry. I was confused. But I cannot see you and confuse you. Am I right on that? Yeah. Most people do not have firm convictions because what they call faith was not derived from encounters. Hallelujah. Encounters are very powerful. I'm reminded of my own encounters with God. I doubt that I would have been able to do, by the mercies of God, the things that we are able to do today. Because you see, you have to have an experience that is greater than the obstacles that will stand before you. Are we together now? For as long as the highest definition of power that is in your mind is Pharaoh and Egypt, you cannot be a deliverer. You will need to subject yourself to another experience at the burning bush that shows you a more superior dimension of power. It will now sponsor the courage to go and stand before Pharaoh. There are many people standing before mountains, standing before Pharaoh. Just because the Bible says to speak to a mountain does not mean you stand under any condition. Moses would have failed woefully if he went, even though he had the prophetic destiny of a deliverer. There was an experience. The Bible says when he was at the backside of the mountain, tending his father-in-law's sheep, Jethro, he saw a bush that burned, but the bush was not consumed. And the Bible says God kept luring him. And when Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. And the Bible says when God saw that he turned aside, he finally got his attention. He said, Moses, come, take off your shoes, for where thou standest is holy ground. And he began a series of discussions with God. At the end of that experience, Moses was bold enough to go to Egypt. I hope you know that he ran away from Egypt because he killed someone. You can imagine, but having met the God of the Bible, he went back and told Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, you still remember my face? This was not the coward who ran away. I've met the God of the Bible. Thus saith the God of the Hebrews, let my people go. You will never have the courage. You see, life has an interesting way of bullying you, making you believe that you cannot thrive, either because of the kind of family you came from, are we together, or the kind of limitation that has surrounded your life. But when you meet the God of the Bible, fear dies. I tell you, genuine faith is a product of encounters. Encounters in the place of prayer, a spirit-to-spirit communication. Encounters in the place of worship. Encounters as you study the Bible. Your understanding is broadened. Your conviction is strengthened. Someone shout encounters. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says the love of God and the communion, fellowship, the word koinonia, the participation, the sharing together. Let it be with you. Let it be with you. You know what that means? That what is in one person becomes in another. It's like a mixing together. So if I take a bottle of Coca-Cola and a bottle of water and I mix both of them together, ordinarily they become inseparable. Are we together? That's what koinonia is. That in that place of intercourse, you are able to drink of something you did not get to that place with. Courage, power, grace. You stand and dare life. It looks like you are standing in arrogance, but your conviction comes from the one you have met. He said, go to the street whose roads divide. You will see a colt that no man had ridden on. And if anybody dares challenge you, tell them the owner, you met him. You met the master and that he has need of it. Let me tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. You have to see a God that is bigger than your challenges to have the courage to confront your challenges. Let me say that again. You have to see and encounter a God that is bigger, bigger than your challenges. Hallelujah. Genuine faith is a derivative of encounters. Now, there are four fruits of encounters. You can know, I'm not teaching on encounters tonight, but you can test for the validity of an encounter by the presence of these four fruits. If it is a genuine God-ordained encounter, if it is the God of the Bible you meet, you have to leave that place with these four fruits. Number one, conviction. The first thing that happens to you in the place of encounters, conviction. Conviction. First, a revelation of the true state of your heart. And then the conviction, the revelation of God's love, the revelation of God's power or might. Are we together now? Conviction. From the place of encounter. From the place of encounter. From the place of encounter. Conviction. That when you say God said, you know what you are saying. You can know about me by reading my books or hearing from someone who had met me. But it's a different thing altogether the day you meet me. Are we together now? If someone sends you a text now and says, Apostle wants to see you at a bank somewhere, the name of that person is a scammer, yes or no? Because I'm right here before you, and you know that by my schedule, I should be here preaching. So whoever is that me that is deceiving you online is most likely a scammer. Are we together now? And your confidence is based on the fact that you have met me. If someone tells you right now that your pastor, knowing your pastor, it tells you that your pastor wants 1,000 naira from you. You are not going to pray about it. Are we together now? The reason is because you know that his integrity, his value, and his investment has forbidden him from remaining at that level. Are we together now? Most people doubt because they have not met the God of the Bible. Life will ask you who sent you. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. I want to go into business. I want to go into ministry. Life will ask you who sent you. Who sent you? Who sent you that you want to build the biggest orphanage? Who sent you that you want to build a ministry and raise God an army? Life will ask you who sent you. I'm praying for you. When life asks you who sent you, may you have an answer. In the name of Jesus Christ. The apostle said, but I know whom I believed. I didn't just believe him. I know whom I believed. I am persuaded. Let me tell you something. Do you know? It's a principle that has worked in my own life. Many times when God gives me instructions in ministry and in my life, and those instructions look very big, something happens to me. The Spirit of God begins to work upon my mind in the place of prayer and worship, and He begins to bring before me the various encounters that I've had in my life. Extraordinary encounters. And from those encounters, faith and courage will rise. Are we together now? There are times I stand before sick people and I know that humanly speaking, God will have to help me. Now, you are ministering to people. You are standing before nations. What gives you the audacity to tell people, come, you are sick, come, you are oppressed, come? No. King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, we worship you. You're the King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, we worship you. Are you learning now? Faith out of encounters. I'll share with you a testimony. When God was moving us from Zaria to Abuja, I remember some of you have heard the story. And I honestly didn't like Abuja. I didn't want, for reasons I could not explain. I'm not sure that I wanted Abuja at all. Maybe somewhere else. And then I remember when God instructed me to pray, He instructed me to get the map of Abuja, the map of Nigeria, the map of Africa, and the map of the whole world. He said I should place it and keep praying every day. And I kept praying, soaking in the glory, soaking in the presence. I'm saying this to encourage someone. One day, something happened to me. Let me tell you what encounters do or create in the believer. I was looking at the map of Abuja, and it suddenly became small. Very small, like a little child holding a ball. The map just shrunk in my mind, and it was like a territory that I could take. The same thing started happening with the map of Nigeria. It became small. The same thing happened with the map of Africa. It became small. And I got up, I said, I can take the nations. I can take the nations. Encounters. It's not about blind assumption, I can do it. You will be embarrassed and disappointed. There is something that happens between you and God before something happens between you and the nations. Are we together now? Oh, they will ask you who sent you. I'm praying for someone. Every manifestation of unbelief that has kept you down, kept you grounded, in the name of Jesus, the one who died and rose again, I pray for you. May the spirit of faith be imparted upon your life. Are you learning now? You see, any believer who genuinely wants to have encounters, watch this now, an encounter is a reaction. It does not just happen. Encounters are atmosphere dependent. You must invest in creating the atmospheres that allow for encounters. The atmosphere of prayer, consistent prayer. Consistent prayer. As they prayed and fasted, the Holy Ghost said unto them, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Ghost said unto them, as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, you must create the atmosphere. How about worship? The Bible says as they began to worship, the very Shekinah of God mantled the temple and the priests could not come in and minister. Show me a man who is a man of prayer. I show you a man of encounters. Show me a man who is given to worship. I show you a man of encounters. Show me one who has placed value on the word of God. The word of God. The word of God. One day you will see something you've always looked at but never seen. Are we together now? I remember reading the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. I always read it. But one day it came with light that you shall be exalted above all the nations of the earth. How many? All. And from that I said, no nation will close its gates against me. Except God did not send me there. It's an encounter. Genuine faith, I tell you, is a product of encounters. Brothers and sisters, pay the price this year in righteousness. Stay with God until He becomes real to you. You have meditated on your problems so much they have exalted themselves even above the knowledge of God. God is able. God is able. But it's not a mechanical thing. I have to meditate on His faithfulness. The Spirit of God takes you on a journey all through the Psalms. And you begin to see the things that our Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Nothing is too difficult. The Holy Ghost is quickening that. Somewhere in that journey of the secret place, you will rise up with courage. What is a house that I cannot build? God is able. Now you are not just talking. It has become the righteousness that is of faith. It speaks. Encounters. Are we together now? Let me tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to be a bearer of bad news. But the darkness that is upon the earth now is not leaving soon. The Bible already told us, Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. It says, arise, shine. For your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2 says, for behold, the darkness, not a darkness, the darkness, programmed, defined, shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. It says, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen. The value of light is when it is in the presence of darkness. Are we together now? So, rather than being afraid, get back to the secret place. For someone, by this teaching this morning, God is calling you to fan the coals of your prayer life. It's a risk to be prayerless. Are we together now? Don't say, I'm a businessman. I don't need prayer. Leave it for men of God. No, sir. He spake a parable to the end that men, not businessmen, men, ought to pray and not to faint. How about worship? Apostle, I can't sing. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horses and its riders have been thrown into the sea. My soul sings unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horses and its riders have been thrown into the sea. You get into the secret place. Write a list of the things that are threatening you and sing before the Lord. Place it on the ground and roll before Him. I'm worshiping the one who is bigger than my problems. I'm worshiping the one who can move every mountain. Is someone learning now? You've not had your testimony yet, but borrow that of Miriam. Turn it into a song and sing. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horses and his riders have been thrown into the sea. I'm not singing. I'm prophesying over someone. You will sing unto the Lord. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horses and his riders have been thrown into the sea. That this Egyptian you see, in the name of Jesus, you will see them no more forever. You will see them no more forever. You will see them no more forever. Listen. Moses had an encounter with the God of the Bible when he stood before the Red Sea and went to God crying. God rebuked him. Exodus chapter 14, 15. Moses, why are you crying? You are wasting my encounter that I gave you. I knew you would stand before the Red Sea. That's why I showed you my power in the wilderness. Why are you crying? Did I not train you in that place of encounter that there is a rod in your hand? And that rod was your rod. But when that rod worshipped me, it became my rod. That job was your job, and it remains your job until it can worship God. Anything that worships God becomes his own. Your ministry remains your ministry until it can bow before God. Your money remains your money with all the trouble that follows it until your money can worship God. Moses, why do you cry before me? I understand if the nation of Israel cries, but not you. You have seen my face. You have encountered my glory. He says, speak to the people. 14:15 Exodus. He says, tell them that they go forward. That they go forward. Is someone learning? I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, blessed is the man that God causes to approach him. There is a grace for encounters. It plants a hunger in you. You become dissatisfied with status quo. You see, let me tell you this. One great secret of our fathers, it is one secret that many of our fathers practice. They practice creating the atmosphere for encounters. You would find some of them go away for days. Some of them will go on the mountain for days, seeing nothing, eating nothing, hearing nothing until they hear the voice of God. But when they hear that voice, they come down from the mountain with courage and power. Most times, we are too distracted to hear him, too distracted to know him. Are we together? You must prune your activities in this season and know him more than you know your problems. Know him more than you know the challenges. Man of God, the greatest publicity to your ministry is to remain in the secret place. We become known when we are known by him. It's one thing for you to know God. It's another thing for God to know you. That knowing both ways must happen if you must carry power. Are we together now? Paul, I know. Even demons testify. Jesus, I know. He said, but who are you? Every spiritual lukewarmness, in the name of Jesus Christ, every spiritual lukewarmness. For many of us, spirituality has become a burden today, including preachers. We want power, we want glory, we want to see the grace of God, but that investment in encounters through the word, in prayer, in worship, please don't lose it. Please don't lose it. Some of you, after this conference, your own retreat should start. Take 2-3 days. Shut down, whether you have ministrations or not. Father, I do not want to teach and preach and sell a God to the nations I do not know myself. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. I'm tired of singing songs about a God who is still a stranger. I'm tired of telling people be healed, and I do not even know who is the custodian of that power. that when you speak from a standpoint of conviction. Someone say encounters. Number two, help my unbelief. Let me finish up something I said here. Four fruits of encounters. Can I give it to you? Number one, conviction. Number two, illumination. Encounters grant you access to illumination, enlightenment. Enlightenment. It means the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Number three, instructions. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 22. I'm still speaking on encounters. I just thought to just finish that up before we go to the next. Very quickly. Exodus chapter 25, 22. It says, and there I will meet with you, and I will commune with you above the mercy seat and between the two cherubims which were upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the nation of Israel. Encounters are places, are platforms to allow for instructions. It's in the place of encounters that you receive the instruction that can redefine the next 10 years of your life. Let me give you just a little testimony. When I started ministry, the Lord, in the place of encounter, He told me that in the future, the internet is going to become a major tool for spreading the gospel. At that time, internet was not the way it was at all. Are we together now? And here was what the Lord told me in that place of encounter. He said, take your teachings. They were all audio. He said, put them online. My angel will spread them to the nations. That is how I will announce you to the nations. One instruction. This is what has by the message of God, brought the kind of glory and honor that God has brought to His name. One instruction. Do you know? God can give you one instruction in your business place. One instruction. You will hear a voice from behind. You don't hear that voice when you are busy with the noise in your spirit. Hallelujah. Encounters. Some of these songs by the message of God that you hear, these songs came from a place of encounter. I remember this song, you hear the keyboard is playing, Lion of Judah. I heard the angel. It's not that I sang it. No. In the place of encounters, and I was hearing the song. That's how I just wrote it down. I didn't compose it. Lion of Judah, the Lamb upon the throne, we hail you, Most High. I was in Cameroon a few years ago, and then I was just spending time in the night, just worshiping the Lord and soaking in the glory, soaking in the glory. And my spirit, it was, you know how you feel when you want to throw up? I began to shiver and shake. I know when His presence comes. I said, His Majesty is in this place. His Shekinah. God is everywhere, but His manifested presence is not everywhere. His manifested presence responds to hunger. Are we together now? And then, while I was in that place, just, it was as if, for want of word, as if a spirit was trying to possess me, to sing through me. And that's where this song came. I have searched and searched all the earth, searched and searched all the earth, and I found the Babuanika Marka. I have searched and searched all the earth, searched and searched all the earth, and I found that Babuanika Marka. Listen, believers, I show you a secret. By the message of God, you are not learning cunningly devised fables. This is not theory. There are many things you are looking for that can only be found in His presence. There are many doors you are trying to open whose keys cannot be found anywhere else. He is the holder of the key of David. man of God, running around looking for ministerial opportunities will end you in frustration. Stay in the presence until the glory comes upon you. Stay in the presence until that mantle of your destiny finally locates you and you come out like an inferno of fire. How can the nations deny your space in life and destiny when you have met him? Businessman, can you shut down for just a week? Apostle, but my profit, how much is it relative to your desire? How much is it? And don't think I'm just speaking nonsense. You will hear something in one day that can redeem 30 years. 30 years. The presence of God has time redemption value. Time redemption value. It's not a waste. There is speed when we wait. When we wait upon the Lord, we mount up with wings. The key is not to be conscious of running or flying. Be more conscious of waiting. Let's hurry up. Who is learning? Alanto Theater. I sense in my heart this morning, I truly sense in my heart, that God is quickening someone. God is using this word, deep is calling on to deep. God is saying, dear lady, there is a mantle upon your life. There is an anointing upon your destiny. But give me time. I need time to make you. I need time to refine you. Maybe a worshiper is hearing me speak by the Spirit. The secret to intimacy is time. Time. Preacher, give him time. And watch what becomes of your life and your ministry. Give him time. Invest time in that glory. Invest time in that presence. Invest time in prayer. Not prayer to get sermons. Not studying the Bible to get sermons. Is someone learning? Number two, we have to hurry up. Help my unbelief. The reason why we have a generation with mechanical faith and auxiliary faith that does not produce is because it did not come from encounters. I know God can do it, and the person who is speaking knows he's lying. God can do it, not to you. All things are not possible to everyone. He said, help my unbelief. God is helping someone's unbelief by calling you to the place of encounters. The same Lord is rich unto all, but that which is delivered unto you is according to your hunger and your passion. Are we together? I don't know anyone who has invested quality time in the presence of God seeking genuine encounters in prayer, in worship, by the word, who became a nonentity. Never laugh at a man you see investing in the presence of God. You will have to say, I'm sorry, for the rest of your life. Are we together?
Yahweh, we worship you. Kadosh, we worship you. Hallelujah. Kadosh, we worship you.
Let me give you number two quickly. The second rule, who is learning already? So number one, genuine faith is born out of encounters. Encounters with the word, encounters in the place of prayer, encounters in the place of worship. Number two, the second rule that governs the manifestation of potent faith is that you must understand the concept of God's will and God's plan. Please listen. This, in my opinion and in my observation, is the most neglected aspect of Bible faith. Most believers do not know that in the economy of God, if you do not understand the concept of the will of God and the plans and the purposes of God, you cannot manifest potent faith. Please walk with me for the minutes that we have. Now, there's what we call the gospel of salvation. Please lend me your attention.
The gospel of salvation reveals Jesus as Savior. Are we together? And the end point of that gospel is salvation from sin and eternal damnation. This is the scope of the gospel of salvation. So it reveals the Father's love through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus. And when you do believe that report is death, burial, and resurrection, you receive of the life of God. Are we together? You are saved from sin and eternal damnation. But there is another dimension called the gospel of the kingdom. Now, when you come into the reality of the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus is no longer Savior. He is Lord and He is King. And the rules of operation, the modus operandi, when you get into the kingdom message is different. One of the laws of the kingdom is that everything around the kingdom revolves around the will of the King. Are we together now? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, let's look at this quickly. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Jesus was teaching them to pray, and He said, when you pray, thy kingdom come. You see, the moment kingdom was mentioned, the will, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, please. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. Shanida Kusiata. I just saw something. Let me just prophesy this before I continue. I just saw like a padlock just opened. This is what I saw in the spirit. And the Lord is asking me to release that grace. This is a gentleman. Your life has been moving in circles. Circles of pain. Help that gentleman. In the name of Jesus. Circles of pain. The Lord is opening my eyes, and I'm seeing that this padlock is open. Welcome to a season of exploits. Your life will turn around in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm hearing the name Mercy, and the Lord is saying an anointing is coming on a lady by the name Mercy, that you have been ordained to be a savior in your family. I don't know where Mercy is, but in the name of Jesus, as I decree and declare, may that grace locate you where you are. Locate you where you are by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ. Is it all right if I speak over you in 1 minute before we continue? I'm seeing change on people's feet. This is what I'm seeing now. These waters have been stirred. I want to pray right now. Anyone whose feet is bound, the power of God is coming upon you and will come. I decree and declare right now, every chain that has held your destiny, held your ministry, in the name of Jesus, let that chain be broken. Be broken. Be broken. Be broken. Be broken by the power of the Holy Ghost. Please be seated. Please be seated. Malinta silakoparika skubiata. I'm hearing in my spirit, activate the prophetic. I don't know who that is. Activate. I stretch my hands. Mantles of the prophetic. Activate the prophetic. This is what I'm hearing in my spirit. There are people who came here. You've been in a business of intimacy with the spirit. It's time for you to soar. I stir up that well in the name of Jesus. I stir up that fountain of the prophetic in the name of Jesus. The prophetic, the eyes that see and the ears that hear, the eyes aparete ke paratosia, the eyes that see and the ears that hear, receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. One more prayer and you'll be seated. Kenneth Hagin and even Kenneth Copeland has prophesied that again, that there is a restoration of the healing ministry as it was in the 70s and the 80s. This is something that for whatever reason just evaporated. But you see, mantles don't leave the earth to the heavens. They always remain here. In the name of Jesus, I don't know who has been called and ordained to carry the healing power of Jesus to the nations. I stretch my hands. By this apostolic and prophetic mantle, take that fire now. Take that fire now. Take that fire now. In the name of Jesus, lay your hands on your head and say, Father. Shout it, say, Father, I receive the grace for the next season. Open up your mouth and pray in 1 minute. I receive that grace for the next season. I receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. I have to hurry up. Let me work with the time. I have to do justice, but I sense a well that has been stirred from this morning, and I believe it will stretch through all through today. Please let your heart be sensitive. Enantos teleke paratus theater. Shavrandes telen shaleke baras shagrete gedebelede beketa karetes kabri shanista ampradina kaparantos kabresa rakate reko sabia abrate kaparata kate rakata preta gebeleke paratus shamanante dana kaparatus yete ebrate kaparatus kotoprende shabeleke parata katus. In Jesus' name, please be seated. Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21, we're talking about the will of God, that the manifestation of faith in the economy of the kingdom is always with respect to the will of God. Are we together now? Hebrews chapter 13, just help those under the anointing. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Help somebody who will get up and start running under the anointing now. Please hold that person. It's the grace for speed. It's coming on someone. The grace for speed. Speed. Help that lady. Supernatural speed. It's not just one person. A number of people. The grace for speed. God is bringing 10 years in 1 year. The grace for speed. I release it. I came with that grace. I deposit it upon your life. I deposit it upon your papa, Reketa. And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. And he ran, overtook the chariots of Ahab. Speed. Speed. Upon your life. Hallelujah. Please be seated. I have to finish this. Necessity is laid on me to finish this. There's something I want you to see before our time is over. The Lord help us. In the name of Jesus. Let's finish that scripture, please. Hebrews 13, it says, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Read verse 21, please. Are you ready? 1, 2, go. Make you perfect in every good work. To do what? God perfects you not just to do your desires, but to do His will. To do His will. Let's run. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 35 to 36. Hebrews 10, 35 to 36. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. Shout verse 36 with me. 1, 2, go. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God. When will you receive the promise? You see where we meet it in the faith equation? We think faith is a platform that compels God to honor any desire. No. There are rules of engagement. Your desire must be within the circumference of the will of God. Is someone learning now? You have to understand the concept of the will of God. Psalms 143 and verse 10. The psalmist cried and he said, teach me to do thy will. Teach me. not just my desire. The reason why the faith of Jesus worked all the time was he was about his Father's will. Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. Help me to do thy will. He says, nevertheless, not my will. So many believers use scripture to manipulate God to fulfill their agenda and their will. No, no, sir. Faith is not an open check to make any kind of lust and desire find expression. Bible faith is governed by the jurisdiction of God's will. Everybody say the will of God. Are we learning? Now, I wrote something here. I want you to listen quickly. God is not committed to bringing just any desire to pass. Every time you see desire to pass, for instance, I wish I had time, I would have clarified for you Mark chapter 24 and verse, or Mark 11, 24. It's a popular scripture that many people have used. I have used it myself, and they say, what things soever ye desire. It looks like it's an open check. Anything you desire, just place the name of Jesus on it and speak it, and it comes to pass. That's the reason why we are disappointed. The economy of the kingdom, don't forget this, revolves around the will of the king. The first assignment of a matured believer is to investigate the will of God before you begin declarations. One of the definitions of praying amiss is praying outside of the scope of the will of God. Are we learning now? God has a plan and a purpose for every man, my God. Now, theologically speaking, the Bible tells us that God has a plan. You believe that? God has a plan and a purpose for everyone. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you an expected end. So God has a plan and a purpose for everyone. But there are two dimensions to the plan of God. You need to listen to this. Number one, there's what we call the general plan of God. This is his desire for all men. You find that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. He desires that all men be saved and that they come unto the knowledge of the truth. You don't need to ask whether God wants your brother to be saved. Any spirit that tells you an individual should not be saved is an antichrist. Are we together now? There's no need verifying the desire for anyone to be saved. You don't have to pray and fast and say, God, should I say? If you ever pray over the issue of salvation, it should be timing and strategy. Not that the person should be saved or not. God desires that all men be saved. But then there is what we call the unique plan of God. So there is the general plan of God for all men, and there is the unique plan of God. Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 5 and then verse 10. I'm rushing because of time, my apologies. It says, whilst you were in the womb, before thou camest forth, it says, I sanctified thee. This was not a plan for everybody. And I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. The unique plan of God. Verse 10. Same Jeremiah 1 and verse 10. It says, see, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. This was Jeremiah's unique plan. Are we together? How about Paul the Apostle? You find that in Acts chapter 26. The full text is from verse 12 to 18. We may not have the time, but Paul was making defense of the gospel and his apostleship before King Agrippa. And he began to narrate the encounter that he had. Are we together? 12 to 18. That light came upon him, and then he said he had been separated to be an apostle. Are we together? To cause them that are blind to see the light, and that many would come to know the Lord, and so on and so forth. And he said, O King Agrippa, I was not negligent to this heavenly calling. Negligent to this heavenly calling. You have a unique plan. You must know the will of God for your life. Let me tell you this, and listen to what I wrote here. Confidence in our faith walk is the product of knowing that you are in the will of God. Confidence in your faith walk is derived from knowing that you are the center of the will of God. If someone meets me now and says, Apostle, I don't think you were called into ministry. I'm going to intercede for the person. Not for myself, in all honesty. I will intercede for the person and say, Lord, it means this person is not hearing well. So that he does not hear another thing that would destroy his life. That he brought that prophecy to me is a verification that his hearing needs to be corrected. When you know you are at the center of God's will, it emboldens you. Confidence. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Colossians 4 and verse 12. 4 and verse 12. Colossians. It says, Epaphras, who is one of your servants in Christ Jesus, saluted you. Read with me, please. Always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that ye might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. All the will of God, as it concerns every aspect of your life. Are we learning now? This is very important. Now, listen to what I wrote here. It's very powerful. The believer's walk of faith. If this is the only thing you get here, you have profited from this teaching today. The believer's walk of faith is the journey of searching out, knowing, and aligning with God to birth his will, his plans, and his purposes for his life. So the believer's walk of faith is a journey of searching out, knowing, and then partnering with God to manifest his plan for your life, not just your desires. Using faith as an instrument to meet needs is only the secondary assignment of faith. The primary assignment of faith is to be used as a platform to help you search out, to help you know, and to help you align with God to manifest his plans and his purpose for your life. Let me tell you the truth. Those you call giants of faith are also giants who have cried to know the will of God for their lives. Nobody becomes a giant of faith outside of the will of God. You cannot be a giant of faith amiss. Hallelujah. The primary assignment of faith is to connect the believer to and to birth the unique plan of God for your life. For many believers, our theology of faith is only as an instrument to help you obtain promises and meet needs. And there is a place for that. But I'm teaching you that that is not the primary assignment of faith. Using faith to meet needs is only a secondary assignment of faith. The primary assignment of faith is to empower you to search out, to empower you to come into a comprehension of, and to empower you to align with God to birth his will and his plan for your life. Look at me. If God has ordained and anointed you to be a financial apostle, serving the body of Christ with the wealth of the kingdom to help drive the purposes of God, you see. If you just get up and say, I think I want to be rich, I'm tired of poverty, God will not support that agenda. He will only start supporting that agenda the day you know that that desire is not just a desire to outshine poverty, is that it is in your prophetic calling. And the way he will train you is such that you will know him first before you have money. Are we together now? So don't think God will leave you and say, okay, since your own is just money. No, you will fast as if you are going to go for a crusade. And yet your assignment is all about bringing resources. Because something needs to die for you to serve the purposes of God well. Are we together? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw something must always die for you to see. The will of God. Someone lift your right hand and say, Father, I'm tired of living my life my own way. Align me to your will. Listen, as simple as this prayer is, if God answers this prayer, some of you will know that so life was not supposed to be that hard. It's only that you have designed your own life by yourself and then asked God to come and play a role in your life. You see how we do it? We design ministry by ourselves. We design family life by ourselves. We desire finances by ourselves. Then we say, God, I hear that when you partner with any man, they succeed. So come, here is a project. I just need your grace, not even your faith. Just drop your grace and you can go. It doesn't work that way. When God steps into any life, you start from ground zero. Are we together now? Allow me to read for you just the remaining two. I can't explain it, but this is powerful. If I leave you this way, my heart would not allow me to rest. Let me give you the third rule. I'm sorry I may not have the time to explain. I have to respect the time, but write this down. Number three, only activated faith delivers results. Only activated faith, dormant faith cannot deliver results. Only activated faith delivers results. Whether it is walking on water, whether it is the man at Bethesda, whether it's washing at the pool of Siloam, only activated faith can deliver results. How do you activate your faith? You speak the word and you obey all the instructions connected to the results you desire. Instructions that have come from scripture or come from your intimate time with the Holy Spirit. Faith is only activated at the point where you are declaring the word and you are obeying, taking actions of obedience. Many people have faith, but their faith has not been activated. It's still in a state of dormancy. Faith does not work until it is activated. Only activated faith delivers results. Let me give you number four. The fourth and final key or final rule of faith that works is patience. 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 Hebrews 6:15. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. It says to follow them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. Hebrews chapter 10 and 36. Ye have need of patience. We read that earlier. That haven't done the will of God. Listen, there are many blessings that are connected to seasons. You can't rush them. They are connected to seasons. Are we together? There are many blessings. If you breast, even if a baby takes one drum of breast milk, he does not become an adult. He becomes a well-fed, maybe overfed baby. If an adult starves himself to death, he does not shrink back to become a baby. He becomes a malnourished adult. There are certain things that subscribe to the law of time and seasons. You have need for patience. And one of the ways to deal with impatience is joy. We have to stop. Rise up on your feet. It says, help my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. Can you lift your hands? And for anything you have learned this morning, cry unto the Lord that it becomes a revelation in your heart. Encounters. Activating your faith. Are we together? Walking in the will of God. Go ahead and pray. Lord, we give you praise. We honor you and we thank you. Go ahead and bless his name. Go ahead and bless his name.